back to Happy Porch Radio, the podcast for ambitious agency leaders. This season is all about Umbraco, the friendly CMS. Join your host, Barry O'Kane, as he talks to web agency leaders and Umbraco experts about the challenges and opportunities that a specific technology like Umbraco brings to our agencies.
Welcome back to Happy Porch Radio. In this episode, I speak to the inspiring team behind Scrift, which is the monthly magazine for sharing knowledge in the Umbraco community. And we talk about how and why they put so much passion into Scrift and the role of the Umbraco community in their professional lives. One of the most important aspects of this conversation, I feel, is how valuable it is as an agency leader to allow and encourage your team to take part in the wider community. Local meetups, conferences, and relevant festivals are an important part of the continuous development of you, of your team, and therefore of your agency. So, let's meet the Scrift team. Great. Thank you so much again for coming along and joining me. And just to start us off, I'm going to ask each of you to give us a quick introduction to who you are and how you got involved in Scrift.
My name is Erica, and I am a freelance UX UI designer, certified in Umbraco. And how we got started with Scrift, Janae, Kyle, and I used to work together at a little place called Mindfly, and we were actually looking for ways to promote UWestFest, the North American Umbraco Festival. It's a different kind of festival than, say, in Europe. Just because the U.S. is so big, it's hard to keep people's interest. So trying to keep a long story short, we were trying to look for a way to kind of promote that. And then we thought, well, hey, what if we did, you know, promoted all the other festivals? And hey, what if we did articles and stuff like that? And anyway, the idea of starting an Umbraco community magazine was born. And our focus has changed maybe a little bit, but not really. It's just about bringing the community at large together to share knowledge.
And I'm Kyle Weems. Like Erica and Janae, I was also at Mindfly once, which is an agency that used to be based out of Bellingham, Washington. And they are no longer. So I work at Offroad Code, which is an agency based out of Huddersfield in the UK. I'm a developer. I primarily work in JavaScript, but I'm always with Umbraco teams, and I'm very familiar with the Umbraco back office as well.
I'm Janae. I also live in Bellingham with Kyle and Erica and worked at Mindfly with them. We all kind of had the same office, which was really nice for brainstorming ideas. But now that we work differently, we have weekly meetings. So we get together and get a good excuse to go out for lunch and maybe snag a beer. I work at Offroad Code as well with Kyle and primarily do C# coding and Razor and a lot of templating and service controllers and stuff like that. So I do most of I'd say 75% of the Umbraco work at Offroad Code for the back end side of things. And we have a lot more like hardcore server guys and stuff. So yeah, I'm in Umbraco 90% of my day, every day.
That's awesome. That's what interesting there. I didn't realize that the festival came first. For some reason, I thought Scrift came first.
I think it was, Erica, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was just around the second UWestFest in Orlando that we came up with the idea, right?
It's been a while. I believe so. Just because it was so hard to boot up interest again after, you know, it being a year in between festivals and trying to get people to stay with us in terms of marketing. And so I believe so. It was in the run up to the second year.
Yeah, and it was kind of born almost out of desperation initially. And, you know, the U.S. is so large, and many Umbraco users in the U.S. aren't small agencies, but are instead internal groups embedded inside larger corporations, maybe responsible only for internal websites. So they didn't have a history of participating in community meetups because they weren't looking to network for the sake of, you know, selling work because they're embedded as internal teams. So we were kind of brainstorming that. When Mindfly closed its doors about 2 years ago, the festival ended up going into different hands. But Scrift was still our product. So at that point, we tried to focus on as much as we could, the three of us, on sort of building up what we'd started as a kind of a just global community sort of magazine. Obviously, Europe and North America, and to a lesser extent, Australia and New Zealand are sort of the biggest audience we have so far. But we keep trying to push out and find new people, to new voices to kind of share with everyone else.
I guess one of the things that I'm always really interested in is your motivations. Like, it's not a small amount of effort to keep going a community magazine or something of the quality and this and the sort of regular level of detail and all the different pulling everything together for something like Skrift. So is it something that you do for the love, enjoyment of it? How do you keep motivated and interested and keep it happening?
It is no small amount of effort, but I think that the Embraco community over the last few years has given us so much in terms of love and acceptance and help and good friendships, that it's kind of just our way of giving back. And personally, on a personal note for me, Erica, I love to travel and I love meeting people from other cultures and learning how they do things. And so I just think it's so great to interact with people all over the world and something in a common language, I guess, that we share. And that happens to be Embraco in this case. So I think that's kind of ultimately what drives me in this, just being able to make those friendships and those relationships all over the world.
Yeah, it can be somewhat gratifying, honestly, to see the attention that it gets sometimes, because we help put something out there that other people really appreciate and enjoy. There's a bit of selfishness in that some of the articles that we have are when we are struggling with a bit of code or how to do a certain thing in Embraco, and we trick someone into writing a solution for us. And then publishing it so that everyone can have access to that going forward. And it's really great to be able to be a part of that. There's a sort of like drink the Kool-Aid kind of phenomenon, I think, with the Embraco community, or at least the parts of it that we've been exposed to through the various festivals and agencies that we've met. It might be emblematic of a lot of open source communities, but at least in our case, I feel there's a lot of work by a lot of people to assist one another and, you know, kind of build up the ecosystem around the product together, or keep network to assist each other when someone, you know, is a little thin on clients, et cetera. And that kind of atmosphere, like Erica says, there's so much that's been given towards us in that kind of way as well, that it motivates you to want to give back and sort of participate in helping continue to build stuff up.
Janae, I think it's really interesting too how much people enjoy the small pieces of Skrift that we don't really think about with the newsletter, and which goes out twice a month, and one of those times is to announce the month's articles. We release an around the web section that just has about five things that say what people have been doing in blog posts and packages. And people get so excited when they've been mentioned in the around the web section and put out there. And they haven't written an article for us. We've just scouted them out on the web and put them on there. And it's pretty gratifying to get the thank you tweets and such, where they're all, "Hey, we're so glad that you mentioned us. Thanks so much for putting my package shout out there." And it's rewarding to have that connection with people.
And to put a little plug along with that, like, if any listeners have done anything cool, like, they're free to shoot us an email or get us on Twitter just to let us know. Because sometimes it is hard to find things. We have our usual channels, but we really want to seek out the voices that aren't in the usual channels to help them be heard as well. So if we don't know where to look, we're not going to find you. So heads up for that. We'd love to share what people are doing with the rest of the community. That's really our impetus behind it.
It doesn't have to be specifically Embraco either. Anything relating to .NET that would help the Embraco community, since Embraco is so close to MVC Core at this point, we find that stuff really useful. So people engage in Embraco that write things that aren't directly related but useful for the community, still really helpful. We'd love to showcase it.
Yeah, wonderful. That was actually going to be my next question. For Skrift, do you have particular sort of audience in mind? I mean, with the types of and topics of articles and the way that you write and so on, or is it a little bit more or less defined and more general?
Well, officially, I believe our audience, we've got a little section for it, is meant to be what I would call sort of Embraco professionals, the community at large, which includes developers, designers, you know, UX, and for that matter, sales roles, etc. We've had technical articles that are about the Embraco back office or about new packages, tutorials on code. We've been fortunate to have a couple of articles about selling Embraco to clients of various scales or other kind of marketing tips. lifestyle articles about being a remote developer, or, you know, where you're away from an office or a team and what kind of lifestyle challenges that might face, et cetera. At the moment, the majority of the people that we end up having as authors tend to be developers writing code-related tutorials, because those are some of the heaviest attendees by volume at a lot of the events that we've had a chance to socialize at. But we're always looking to expand that. There's a lot of the web, you know, and web development and roles in web development that extend well beyond Embraco itself as a product. And there's a lot of different things that, a lot of different viewpoints and articles and useful stuff that could come from there that we would love to host if we ever get the chance. It's just a matter of making those connections.
And I think that we do want to keep it centered on the Embraco community, but there's lots that we could probably add to it that's not necessarily Embraco-centric, just to help us all do our jobs better, as the community is very diverse in itself. Like I said, I'm a UX UI designer, but I still work primarily with Embraco devs, and so the Embraco part is very helpful for me to learn about as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things, like you could have a tutorial, say, for example, on something in the front end that isn't strictly Embraco, but might be very useful for the Embraco community. But ultimately, we are an Embraco community magazine, because, and that's the target that we're looking for as an audience.
Do you have, and I guess this is a very general question, but do you have any thoughts on the Embraco community as a whole?
Sure. I do think the American community is probably bigger than it looks at times, but it's so thinly spread out, you know, because it's such a large country. And there are a lot of Embraco developers that work internally that discovering them is really the challenge. And UWestFest for the past 4 years has continued to manage to survive through both Mindfly and Scandia, I think, despite that challenge. But there's a lot of really exciting people and agencies that we've met over time through participating in that. And ironically, a lot that we've met when, you know, various members of us have gone over to Code Garden in Europe as well.
I think that one of the interesting things about the Embraco community is that it's really interesting to see a bunch of people who've bonded over not just software, but a content management system. And I know there's, you know, WordPress conferences and stuff like that, but it's really interesting to see people from all over the world have such an interesting bond with such different, you know, places that they come from and different lifestyles over something that we all even do different things in. Kyle with JavaScript, Erica does UX and UI, and I'm actually developing in C Sharp. And it's really interesting to see how everybody can come together with such diversity in their jobs and all over the world, and then, you know, get into something that they're all really passionate about, and that thing that they're really passionate about is a content management system. And it just always boggles me a lot. I think it is a little bit harder in the US because while agencies identify as members of the Embraco community, there's a lot of internal corporation people who identify as employees of a corporation rather than actually as, you know, I'm an Embraco developer. And so one of the reasons that we created Scrift was to try and find some of those people and to expand the community and see the people out there that we were having a hard time getting a hold of, but that know work on Embraco.
And I don't think we've achieved that yet.
No, I agree.
We have met some great people along the way, and we're still trying.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense too. And how much of an impact do you think having an open source community around Embraco impacts, like, as you mentioned, in the professional lives, and particularly an agency itself? Like, as an agency, as somebody who works in an agency or somebody who is leading an agency, how important do you think engaging with a community like Embraco, you know, how important is that?
Well, the company that Kyle and I both work for, Offroad Code in the UK, we're an agency. And Mindfly, which we all worked for before, was also an agency. And we work pretty much only on Embraco, period. And we have developed custom software, but based on APIs that connect to Embraco and integrate with other APIs as well. So I think, speaking from someone who's always worked in an agency with her relationship to Embraco, I would say it's actually incredibly important to my identity as a developer that I work in Embraco. If I was looking for a new job, I'm not, boss, don't get freaked out, he knows, then I would be looking for a job in Embraco. I would not be looking for a job in another .NET CMS. I would specifically be looking for a company that would hire me for Embraco work, because that is what I want to do. And I think that a lot of the companies that we speak to that are other agencies, because of course agencies network with each other, as you know, only work in Umbreco as well, or very, very rarely touch other things. And it's because they've had a legacy client like that has a WordPress blog, but Umbreco for their main site. But they still really try to focus their work on Umbreco. So I think it really defines agencies that work in it. Some of the bigger ones might do other .NET work, but the most that I've spoken with, it's a very defining trait for us.
And I would also add to that, for smaller agencies, and I know Off-Road Code is one, and Mindfly was on the small side as well, that I actually started at Mindfly before we got on the Umbreco bandwagon. And once we did, though, the change in the business was pretty significant in a good way. So I think that by aligning ourselves with Umbreco and picking something to sink our teeth into and then joining the community, it did nothing but really positive things for us, which you might not think since it closed its doors, but that had nothing to do with Umbreco related things. But I think that it was a good move, and I think that getting involved in the community was a large part of that. Which again, I think that ties back into why we started Scrift together, is we just saw how many benefits we got from the community, and we wanted to be able to give back to that.
Yeah, I think there's something, I don't know if all open source communities are like this, but the Umbreco community built around an open source product that's got a good team in the Umbreco HQ that's been building up something that's pretty robust, has a lot of developers from the various agencies, I believe, frequently assisting with pull requests and whatnot to improve the core. There's a sort of something about the open source mentality, I think, sort of encourages a spirit of cooperation, and maybe that's part of it, but I think it's very vital for a smaller agency or any agency to be able to be part of the community, because there isn't, although there's obviously a certain amount of competition for clients or jobs or whatnot, I believe in general that it's felt like there's essentially a lot of additional developers that you know who are usually willing to help, you know, whether it's give a bit of advice, offer a solution to a thorny problem you have. In some cases, for, you know, those people that need to scratch up a bit more work, you know, suggest a project or contract you out. And as Erica said, the company that we were at was in a different kind of software environment prior to that. And we didn't have anything remotely close to that experience of participation or sort of a friendly culture of developers. And it's been really amazing to see what this particular group is like, and very beneficial to be part of it.
I am interrupting the podcast for a quick announcement. This podcast is made possible with the support of MZone Software, where we relieve technical pressure for creative agencies. Are you running a creative or marketing-led agency that's struggling with tech and development? If so, we can help. To remove all your technical headaches, go to endzonesoftware.com/pressure. That's endzonesoftware.com/pressure. And now back to the show.
So the agency sort of moved or decided to focus on Umbreco. And when you say that was a really good, positive experience, can you give me some examples? Are you talking about that in a purely internal sense, you know, in terms of actually what you were doing and then this sort of growing and becoming a big part of the community? Or is it more broader in terms of like the business of the agency as well?
The business of the agency, definitely. We used to use a more custom product. It was still .NET focused, but we weren't using any big open source repositories or anything like that.
I'm going to interrupt you, Kyle. He says a more custom product. He means an entirely custom product.
Well, it was proprietary. So
it was, yes, it was.
Yeah. Right. You know how it is. Everyone handled their CMS back in the day, which I do not advise to anyone. Don't do that. But both between that and other products, I mean, it definitely helped the company's bottom line. We had a more professional, well-built piece of software that we were using through Umbreco to build our sites on that increased the confidence that clients could have, that greatly increased the amount of solutions and developers that we could look to fix a thorny issue. You know, we were running some very complicated sites that would have been a lot more difficult to manage as a team with our size if we didn't have something so robust out there. And something about the open source nature, I think, kind of encourages that if you're having a problem, you can get on there, you can start sort of asking things out or file an issue somewhere. And there's motivated people who are willing to spend a little bit of their time helping you out. And often just to be friendly and just sort of asking you to pay it forward by helping other members in the community, you know, when they have a question. And so I think it helped in that sense, like definitely helped our bottom line, but it obviously helped as individuals on top of that as well, of course, because, you know, we suddenly had bigger networks socially that gave us, or at least gave me the opportunity to grow more as a developer, because the more people you know working on similar solutions or with a mindset of cooperation, the more you can learn faster, or at least that's been my experience.
I would definitely agree with that in the sense of, you know, it freed up more time to focus on the clients because we didn't have to worry about the CMS anymore. Somebody else was taking care of that. Yes, we were implementing it, but we didn't have to worry about the underlying architecture of it. And then again, like Kyle said, opening up a network of people that we could relate to or lean on or learn from instead of being so isolated in a silo because nobody else was using our CMS. It just kind of, I don't know, it was kind of freeing, I guess, and it definitely boosted morale. And it was better. I think we all just breathed a sigh of relief when we didn't have the stress of the proprietary software anymore. Not that it was terrible software, but it's just a different experience.
I think the only thing that I would add to that is to say that probably the one additional good experience beyond our own development personally and the bottom line of the company and the maintenance of proprietary CMSs, we also, after joining or moving into Umbraco, worked a lot with other agencies. We did contract work back and forth and took on bigger projects as multiple small agencies came together to do those. And that was a really awesome experience as well, to be able to jump onto bigger things that we may not have been able to tackle on our own. And we did that at Off-Road Code 2. And that has, or take on freelancers that we know were familiar with Umbraco rather than trying to have someone come in and work in our proprietary CMS because we need extra hands. It's definitely given us the ability to jump out and get more work and better and bigger work.
So that's brilliant. There's two things I'd like to pick out in that and to work backwards. So that what you just said there about partnering and working and sort of working both with freelancers and with other agencies, do you mean that that's something that came about from the community of Umbraco, or, you know, is that process directly related to saying we're working with Umbraco now?
It definitely was directly related to us working with Umbraco and also stepping into the Umbraco community. We got certified, we went to Code Garden, not everybody, but a few of us. And then we started meeting people and connecting with other gold partners and started working with projects on them or meeting freelancers that we knew from our experiences with them at conferences could take on the work that we needed to assist us.
Great. And during that period of transition, so the agency, you were talking about the agency moving from proprietary CMS and sort of committing to Umbraco and the community, was the driving factor of connecting with the community from you guys, from the team, or was there a leadership decision saying, okay, well, you know, how did that actually come about within that agency?
I haven't really thought of that. I think I was one of two that went to CoGarden when we first got involved. And I think it just kind of came about organically. I went with one of our developers and we were kind of wallflowers. We were very overwhelmed. If you haven't experienced CoGarden before, it is a delight.
A bit of a circus.
Yeah. And it can be overwhelming the first time and we didn't really know anybody. And I think that we, you know, slowly got introduced to people and things just started happening organically. And then all of a sudden we're like, we can work on this project with you or, you know, whatever it was after that. And then when we got home from CoGarden, actually, we both said, well, we have to keep going, you know, and it just kind of was born from there. And every year we brought more people with us and every year our connections grew. And then every year we had more interaction, I guess, with the community and more of those connections.
And I would say that's kind of what started that idea to do US Fest the first time. And then from that spawned Scrift.
And so I'm interested in whether you think that's the sort of thing that was driven by, I mean, you guys are obviously, you know, motivated and interested in, above and beyond the sort of just sitting at the screen, and whether that's something that you think is unusual within an agency setup, or something that an agency could encourage or should encourage their team to be more proactive?
I think from my experience, when I first joined the agency, I was the first of the three of us to be part of Mindfly back in the day. There was, I believe, a certain sort of trepidation about experiences with conferences and going to the community, sort of a notion that other agencies can be competitors that might steal away talent or give bad ideas on software.
Around every corner.
Exactly. And, you know, I've honestly found in my experience that was sort of a false fear, you know? And once we kind of sort of went to a couple of different conferences, Pre and Bracco, and sort of noticed these networks more as a source of learning and, you know, kind of an opportunity to grow, and that fear starts to fade, it became more of a realization that getting us out there, making these networks, it's a sort of a form of marketing that it isn't client-focused. You're not necessarily going to immediately get a sale from it, but you're going to have this wider footprint, this sort of increased in, you know, understanding, you know, people might recognize you as a developer, and then they'll recognize the agency you work for, and then they may have a project that they need assistance on, and suddenly you're called up, and then suddenly a new client knows about you and, you know, kind of grows from there. I think it was sort of an organic process for us, that kind of growing realization. And to give credit, the leadership of the company was probably responsible for the was ultimately responsible for the decision making for that. So it's just sort of as it kind of became aware of the benefits, really encouraged us, you know, after probably some initial trepidation, to get involved a lot more and to go to these things and to meet these people. And it really paid off at the time. So I do believe it was the right choice.
I'm also wondering, though, like, if that's an American perspective, because I feel like you look at the UK and you, from my perspective as an outsider looking into the UK, but particularly in the Embraco community, they seem to very much share. And I think there still is that fear in the US of we can't share because we're all competitors. Whereas the opposite, like Kyle was saying, is actually true, that when you do share knowledge, you actually see that growth in your business and even your personal development. So I'd actually be interested in knowing more about that from a more international perspective.
Right. And I'd like to think maybe as sort of the social network nature of the internet's grown, perhaps more positive viewpoints by smaller agencies on the notion of, say, sharing knowledge and getting workers out into the, you know, these social events or conferences or parts of larger communities is probably growing in acceptance. But I would also say, Erica, maybe it's also the size of an agency. You know, smaller teams tend to, in my experience of interaction, at least in America, be a little bit more fearful, perhaps. You know, they can't afford to be a man down. So the notion of sending a person out in the field and then maybe losing them to someone might be a reason for them to, say, kind of keep a little tighter of a ship, whereas larger groups have a less concern on that level because they know that they can be attractive to their team members.
Yeah, perhaps.
I think it's important to emphasize for the case of agencies that they really have nothing to be afraid of on that score. I mean, every agency that I've spoken with, when we go to conferences, people from them, they would never even consider poaching someone from another company. They don't look at it that way. And I know that when we were leaving Mindfly and it was closing and we were looking at a new position with Off-Road Code, even though he knew that the company was closing and that we were looking for work because it was moving on, he still emailed my boss to make sure that he wasn't poaching us because he was so concerned that that would be looked at badly. And so I don't really think that agencies have a lot to be afraid of to put their people out there, especially if they're small. I think they're going to get a lot more back from it just by the feedback and the helpfulness of everybody and speeding up their process and having other connections to work with.
Kyle, one of the other things, I think you said something along the lines earlier of that being part of a community has really helped you grow as a developer or growing like sort of professional development. Do you think that you would have had the same sort of impact if you'd been working in Embraco but not as sort of not dived into the community as much as you have?
Good question, but I think ultimately no. I'm sure that, you know, if you devote yourself to a product and you keep aware of the resources available and you read the, you know, tutorials and look at the GitHub repos or whatever your routine is for development.
Stack Overflow?
Yeah, Stack Overflow. Ask all the questions on Stack Overflow, or hope someone's asked before you, that you'll grow as a developer, absolutely. But I do personally feel that the moment that I sort of finally got the door into the conferences attendance myself and got to know other developers personally and have an opportunity face-to-face, talk about different coding styles, or have a list of names that if I had a particularly thorny issue that I couldn't just seem to Google foo my way out of, that I'd be able to kind of like, you know, hold up a hand and ask a question. And more often than not, they'll point to a resource that, you know, will quickly teach me what I need to know. And I think that definitely in that process, I grew faster than I would have. It would be hard to say without some sort of, you know, A-B test with another developer that did it the other way. But yeah, I personally believe that it was participation that did it. And maybe part of that is because when you put your face out there and you get to know people and you start to get known for your work, maybe there's an element of pride that drives you forward. Maybe it's encouragement from seeing other people's successes or hearing their stories. But I think also it's just sort of that, you know, networking and mentoring certainly seems to pay dividends over the developer in isolation, no matter how well read they are, for me.
Yeah, I guess I was... I'm not surprised to hear that. I have seen that. And to your A-B testing point, I've seen that, both sides of that coin. And I think it's a vastly underestimated part of particularly the technical side of a team developing their skills and growing a team.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that the most important thing that an agency can do of any scale or level is get their employees out into their respective communities, whether or not that's a participating in a local city, you know, meeting group for their particular language or web dev in general, whether or not it's attending a more generic web conference like an Event Apart, which is a particularly excellent one in North America, or whether or not, say, in the case of an Embraco developer going to Code Garden or their country's local festival or their state's or city's meetup group, depending on the region they find themselves in, definitely is always the right choice to do. Get them out there and they will, 9 times out of 10, be a better developer or designer or what have you for it every time.
A couple of times you've said, one of the interesting things about the Embraco and the Embraco community is people from different disciplines, I guess, or skill sets and backgrounds, both being part of the community. And I'm interested, and I guess I'm thinking, Erica, from your point of view, especially, what it's like, or how important do you think that sort of cross-discipline stuff is really important in terms of, like, you're working with Embraco in a whole different way than maybe, you know, a developer is?
Yeah, I definitely am. And I used to do more in Embraco than I do now, and I'm maybe trying to get that skill set back now that I've gone freelance. But I would say the more that I, coming from the design perspective, the more I understand what's going on under the hood and how a site is put together, the better job I think that I can do. So I think that it's been really beneficial to me to keep up my certification and to keep up my connections in the community. Not only do I love everybody that I've met and I have a grand time at all the festivals and meetups, but I just think it makes me a better professional to do that. I have done some work for some agencies who are not associated with Embraco, who use other CMSs, and I feel like I flounder a bit because I get told a lot by their developers, oh, the CMS can't do that, the CMS can't do that, and I'm not used to hearing that. I don't know. Embraco's mantra, I guess, is it can do whatever you want it to do. And that's very true. But I also understand it very well as well. So I would like to think that makes me an asset to Embraco developers. I just think it's important. And also, because I'm a designer, my favorite people are developers, because that's who I like to work closely with to make sure those projects go out how they should.
That's interesting. I'm not sure every designer would say that.
Interesting. Well, like I said, I used to do more in the front end and then also in integrating Embraco, and I'm working on getting back into that as well. But I do feel like it's made me a better professional to know that.
And I guess for either of the other two, do you think that's, or how important do you think that is from, you know, from your side?
It's so important for me to have her understand where I am coming from, what my limitations are, what I can do, And when I say I can make that happen, but it's going to cost an extra $2,000 because that's, you know, how much time we're going to have to add to the project to do that little button you'd like, she gets it. And she's not going, I don't understand why that's so expensive, because I can explain to her exactly what's going on. And I always found that that was really great to have a designer that can you can communicate with, and they understand what you're talking about. And obviously, the more deep down I go into C-sharp chatter, the more she's going to glaze over. But when I talk about the structure of the back office or how complicated implementing something is, then Erica understands because she's gone to the certifications. She has a basic idea of the code and how it works. And so it helps us structure the budget. It would help us structure the layout and how the functionality would work. And we could work hand in hand and then both go off and do our own work with scraps of wireframes that we had sketched out, and know that when we came back together, we would have a functional thing. And it made us really fast. If you work in Agile, hands down in Agile, have your designers understand Umbraco.
I think that's very true, especially with the implementation of the grid coming out. I mean, it opens up a whole new beast of things that you can do, which can be good or bad because it can get out of control. But understanding how you can customize that and the best way to tackle certain pieces of content, I think it can absolutely help you stay within budget on your projects, because you know, like I know how to set up doc types. So I know how like all this is going to actually come out in the back end. And then I can work with the developers and they're like, I don't get why you did this. And then I can actually explain to them what my thought process is in the back office architecture for things like that.
What's the future of Scrift? What are your plans as you look forward?
We do have a whole list in our Trello boards of features and new ideas and things that we want to implement to try to entice community members to get involved. So those are hopefully forthcoming. But I think ultimately, like, it goes
it
back.
Will absolutely be forthcoming.
I think ultimately our original goal stays the same in trying to connect the global community at large together. So the more name recognition that we can get, the more people who know about us, we're hoping to draw in people from Asia. I don't think we've had any from there yet, and South America and all the places that we're missing. We're hoping to draw them out, to get them plugged in, to get them involved, to get their voices heard, to just try to increase our understanding of each other and how we all work. And hopefully that makes us all better developers and designers and Brackians in the end.
Yeah, I think there's a real value, as Erica puts it, you know, of diverse viewpoints. The Umbraco community started out in Europe, you know, and sort of had all the developers look the same, and then it's expanded. You know, it's a worldwide product. And although the core development is still in Europe and, you know, the U.S. is growing as a market, there's a lot of different people with different experiences that are going to have very new ideas to sort of challenge things or to share, ways of coding or experiences as designers that we may not have. And it's really important to us to get a chance to represent that, not just on a national level, but we'd like to see a lot of more women in the community get the opportunity to be heard, and other people that don't look like the developers that are always the ones talking at conferences. So it's a sort of a special goal of ours to try to get as many pins on the map as we can of people that have written for Scrift.
You can get all the links and notes from this episode on happyporchradio.com. If you enjoyed the show, please spare a moment to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks for listening.